B. Dave Walters from Little Rock, Arkansas is, for simplicity's sake, a storyteller. Now, that encompasses many things. He's a writer, a producer, performer, business owner, a host, martial artist, life coach, and more. Growing up, he originally wanted to be an aerospace engineer, and then a paleontologist. But in high school, he was introduced to Shakespeare, and that changed his life. He went on to earn his degree in English and sought to use his voice to help people. Later, he also began studying martial arts and was presented with the unique opportunity to serve as the bodyguard for a very popular national touring band. That endeavor led him to Los Angeles, where he would eventually settle himself and continue to establish himself as a storyteller, motivator, and community influencer. I'm Bobby Gonzalez, and this is Spoken Dreams.
My name's B. Dave Walters. I am many things. I think above all else, I would say I'm a storyteller. I think on my website, my tagline is like writer, life coach, and talk radio host. But now I do so much more than that in the streaming space and in the geek space and in the business space. I think for me, the common thread in all of this, believe it or not, is reducing human suffering. And I don't necessarily mean that to sound it that is dramatic and like divine as that sounds, but I just realized that life is hard and people go through a lot of stress and a lot of things. And if a person can watch a show I'm on and get a laugh, or read a comic book that I wrote and be taken away, or even one of the heavier things that I might write about, like what's going on in the world, you know, geopolitically, or you're dealing with personal issues and things like that, if a person can read that and take from that, well, I'm not crazy, you know, or the sun is going to rise, then it's all been worthwhile. To go back to the beginning, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. I got started, I think I always wanted to do something creative. I remember distinctly having Legos when I was like 5, and coming up with superhero stories and creating new characters. I was making my own things from the very beginning. And my mom, from when I was little, she said, you should be an aerospace engineer because you like building things. You like assembling ships and vessels. And I was like, this seems legit cool. So if you'd asked me for most of my life what I wanted to do, I would have said aerospace engineer. Then, as I started making my way through school, I realized that math was not exactly my forte. And when I realized math was not my thing, I really loved dinosaurs, and I decided I wanted to be a vertebrate paleontologist. And I wanted to go to the University of Colorado at Boulder. That was my life plan. I was going to do it. Kept growing up and realized two things, that most of what a paleontologist does is on their knees in the dust in, like, 200-degree heat in Montana, which is no good. And that Colorado's freezing, which I don't like, which is no good. So around this time, in the 12th grade English, I was introduced to Shakespeare. And it just spoke to me on such an intrinsic level, especially the tragedies. Macbeth, Othello. Although, believe it or not, I did not identify with Othello so much as the black character. It was Macbeth. It was Macbeth because he was the guy who was doing what he thought was right and got sort of caught up and swept away in a sequence of events that he probably could have stopped, but that's one of my favorite quotes. When basically Macbeth was contemplating whether or not he should stop doing what he was doing, I'm into blood so far come that to turn back would be as difficult as to continue over. That basically, like, I've come this far. Even if I wanted to quit, it'd be too hard to quit. So I guess that's actually kind of a recurring theme that you'll hear even in this story of, like, my experiences in entertainment and stuff, that a lot of the times that I've endured when things have gotten difficult is just like, well, it would actually be as hard or harder to stop doing the thing as to just continue doing the thing. After being introduced to Shakespeare, I decided when I went to school, I wanted to study English. because my mom wanted me to get a degree in like business or accounting, because my mom's a math wizard. She's an absolute genius. And my dad is very much like an entrepreneur, risk taker guy. And my parents got divorced when I was 8 years old. And my nature is, I assume and think the best about absolutely everybody by default. And so I kind of ran everything that happened. I ran their life choices through the filters of everything that happened. And it's like assuming nobody was wrong was a way I guess a kid, only a kid can. And I knew on the other side of that, that I both, one, did not want to be a math person, and I didn't want to be a business person. Those were two things I could take from that. So I was like, so I'm going to do the thing that I love, as I guess every artist does. And I was like, I'm going to go into English. I'm going to be a writer. And I'd written a couple comic books by then. I'd written a couple stories that I tried to get published in like Dungeon Magazine, which of course were objectively awful. And now apologize to every editor that must have known when they pulled out the like handwritten notebook paper who submitted this. And I started out school in Arkansas. I went to the University of Central Arkansas at Conway initially, and I started on the path of doing English. Did all my undergrad there, and then I transferred to Morehouse College in Atlanta. I wanted to get out of Arkansas. I wanted to be in a bigger place. I'd realized that basically if you don't leave by the time you're about 25, you're not going. And I dove in head first and did get my degree there. But I had one of the darkest experiences of my literary life there. I was in a class that was Introduction to Shakespeare. And they had an argument about how Romeo and Juliet couldn't really be in love because they were too young. And I was like, pearl clutch, like, what are you talking about? Like, that's quintessentially what this story is about. They're the absolute love story. And that always stuck with me because I realized right then how much a person's personal experience informs what they bring to art. And how much their personal experience informs what they're capable of taking from an experience. And it was just the oddest thing. And also around this same time, I got exposed to John Milton, Paradise Lost. Paradise Lost is probably my favorite thing that's ever written. It's an epic poem. It is about Lucifer when he gets kicked out of heaven. And he goes down to hell. And Lucifer doesn't realize he's the bad guy. Continuing the theme with Macbeth, he's the bad guy who doesn't realize he's the bad guy. But I guess I was very much drawn early to this idea of the fact of not necessarily redemption, because I guess that's the essence of tragedy, is they don't get redeemed and you learn from their mistakes. But this idea that there's some goodness in everyone. You know, all the way back to Star Wars, which is my very favorite movie of all time, is Star Wars. Darth Vader is my favorite character in any medium, period. And it's still that same idea of the person that was trying to do the right thing and ended up off track. And to bring this back to the entertainment business, to survive, you have to have a little bit of what I call a divine selfishness. You have to be prepared at times to be unwilling to compromise. To absolutely say, no, I'm going to do this thing. And it doesn't really matter if my family approves, and it doesn't really matter if my friends approve, because what you will find is when you start trying to make big changes or big moves of any kind, other people will try and stop you, and they'll do this for a couple of reasons. Some of it is they mean well. Some of it is they don't want to see you fall flat. They don't want to see you make a mistake. They don't want to see you get hurt. And all of those things are true, kind of. That's maybe like 40% of it, maybe. A big, big chunk of it, maybe another 40 to 50%, though, is they don't want your action to reveal their inaction. If you are the person who's always saying, I want to go back to school and finish my degree. And all your friends are saying, you know what, I do too. And then you do it. They have to look in the mirror and accept the fact that they're not doing it and that they didn't go back. And then that's painful. And so it's easier to make you weird, make you wrong, than look in the mirror and say, oh, I need to get it together. So, to tie off on the college years, when I was in school, it came to me clear as day. I was a huge fan of Wu-Tang Clan, and because of Wu-Tang Clan, they sample a lot of kung fu movies in their music, and so I started watching the movies, and so I got used to all the 70s Shaw Brothers films and everything. Someone was like, you should study kung fu, and I was like, great, I'm gonna do it. So I graduated in May of 2001. Started training in June of 2001 and earned my black belt in Shaolin Kung Fu and my black sash in Tai Chi. And by now I was in Atlanta. I'd graduated school. I was working in IT. I was making a little bit of money and, you know, kind of riding high, loving life. A buddy of mine, Ben Moody, comes along and he was in a band called Evanescence, which blew up in the early 2000s. So he calls me and he's like, hey, you've been training martial arts, right? And I'm like, yeah, I just earned my black belt. And he says, come be head of security for the whole band on our worldwide tour. And I was like, no. Because nothing in my training has equipped me to be responsible for like 50 people's lives. I was like, thank you, no. So he keeps calling back. Every time the deal's a little bit better, sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, till finally he's like, just come be my bodyguard. I'll pay you double what you're making, and I'll make it all in advance. I'm like, all right, well, you know, if you're going to twist my arm, you know, right, yeah, if you're going to, like, violate my civil rights, I guess I'll do it. At first, we were traveling back and forth to Atlanta, from Atlanta to wherever, but I ended up spending more and more time in L.A. That's how I got out here in the first place. We literally drove into town, and because we knew we were going to stay for a while. I will never forget this. And we got off the 101 onto Sunset, and we picked up a bunch of snacks and stuff on the road, you know, as you do. And there was a girl that was driving with us, and we saw this homeless guy. And she lets down the window, and she hands him this, like, giant, you know, Costco bag of Tostitos. And she's like, hey, do you want this? And he's like, thanks, can I have $20? And we're both like, what? And Ben's like, welcome to LA. That literally was like my first 30 seconds in this city. That was my experience. We lived in what was the Hotel Bellagio. It's not the Bellagio anymore. I don't know what it's called. And we were basically vampires. We'd go to bed at 6 in the morning and we wake up at 3 p.m. And we just stay up all night. We're partying and stuff. And all of the rock star stories are true, 100% of them. Basically, anybody that was on MTV in the early 90s, I hung out with and know all of their dark secrets because I basically was the one corralling people. I'm just keeping them from doing stupid things more than anything else when they were, you know, 1 or 2 feet into the next world. But during this time, one of the advantages was, theoretically, I was supposed to be working on my writing and stuff so we could, like, produce movies and do all this fun stuff. And that was when I got into the realm of producing. But I was lucky in that right when I came into this town, I got to be a part of meetings with big people and with actual players and with people that had some juice as a byproduct of walking in with him. And it was good for me to see very early the other side of celebrity and the other side of what it means to have all of your dreams come true and still be unhappy. And I don't mean him in particular. Again, I was just around a lot of, you know, people of varying levels of success in the industry. So, and it's sad because, like, Stephen Covey's got a quote where it's there's nothing worse then climbing the ladder of success only to find it was leaning against the wrong wall. And I have a useful skill where I can learn from other people's mistakes. And I could start early mitigating my expectations. I picked up on this when I first came and I couldn't figure it out all the way back to when we were staying at the hotel initially. I'll never forget this. I just had this, like, lingering unease when I first got here. I couldn't put my finger on it. Something was bothering me, and I never understood what it was. And my friend finally said to me, he said, "Oh, it's because the streets are paved with broken dreams." And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, that guy working at Starbucks didn't come here to work at Starbucks. That girl at Hooters didn't come here to work at Hooters. And your resolve holds out for a while until it starts to break down and then bitterness sets in. And that's what you're picking up from people." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that is true." And I now see it differently. I now see it as the number one reason why I love this town, and I'm glad to be here more than anywhere else, is the full spectrum of human existence is going down in like 10 square miles. I mean, there's people who are suffering as much as they're suffering anywhere. There's people who are prospering as much as they're prospering anywhere. There's people who literally have nothing, and there's billionaires, and they're side by side. And the opportunity to be, do, or have literally anything is here. I will say, if I could give you one piece of advice on how to survive here, it is relationships. You need to be good at what you do. You need to be great at what you do. Of course, you should be a student of your craft. And if you love it, you should want to be a student of your craft. You should want to be reading books. You should want to be watching videos. You should want to be taking classes. And if you find yourself being in a position where you aren't interested in improving because you think you're good enough or you think no one can teach you anything, this is probably not for you, and you're probably going to get ground up. The number one thing that will tilt luck in your favor here is who you know. The simplest thing, I will give you an unbroken chain of events that is literally happening in the last year to now for me, because I've gotten very active in the geek and streaming space. I co-host a show on Geek and Sundry right now called Ask Your Black Geek Friend. Before I give this unbroken thread, there's one point I want to say outright. The number one thing you can do is try and help other people succeed. Try and solve other people's problems. That is the secret to success, not just in this industry, but honestly in life. If you've got a problem, see how you can help three other people solve the same problem, or at least a different problem, because that is what will get you noticed. That is what will get you ahead. And I don't mean that in a predatory way, like I'm going to do you a favor expressly to call that favor in later. I mean, I'm genuinely interested in seeing you do better. I genuinely see value in what you're doing, and I want other people to see it as well. And that comes back around. So, first movie I was in when I was here, I met a guy on set who's become one of my best friends, a guy named Damien Poitier. And I introduced him to a guy named Jason Charles Miller, who Jason Charles Miller is the very first person I met in this town. So I put Jason and Damien together, just, you know, as bros. Again, like, you know, I know you, I know you. We probably hung out and got dinner some along the way, but, you know, they became friends also. So Jason got in over at Geek and Sundry. I think he was doing some work with Felicia Day, musically or something. I don't even know how he met her. And he brought Damien in to do some stuff. Fast forward to like last March, Damien calls me out of nowhere and he's like, "I've got an idea for this show. I want to call it Ask Your Black Geek Friend, so we can do it about diversity and inclusion." So I'm like, "Of course, man, sign me up. Let's do it." So he called me on Wednesday. We shot the pilot that Saturday. That Monday, they were like, "We love it. We want it. We want to greenlight this for a series." We're like, "Sweet, great, done, fantastic." While we were broadcasting, another person who's on the channel, who I only knew of as another host, wrote a book. She wrote a Dungeons & Dragons game supplement. And so I shot her a message and I was like, "Do you want me to hype your book on our show?" And she's like, "Would you do that?" I'm like, "Absolutely. Of course I will." So next episode, same thing. I was like, "Our friend, you know, our sister on the channel wrote this book. Check it out. Here's how you get it." And I clipped the link of me doing it and I sent it to her, and I posted the link separately of me hyping her. And she's like, "Oh my God, thank you so much. I really appreciate this." I'm like, "No problem, anytime." And she says almost immediately, "I've got a thing coming up. Maybe you want to be a part of it." I'm like, "Absolutely." Because for me, one thing you'll find from the answer is pretty much always yes. Like, if logistically I'm capable of doing a thing, I will probably do that thing. If an opportunity comes, because I've just had so many strange things in my life I got to do because I was just willing to take a shot at it. So she says, I got this thing coming up. I'm like, yep, I don't, just let me know. So she does a thing every year called a Charity D20, where it's a stream where we raise money for this children's literacy charity. And she said, I would love for you to come play in one of the games. Now, at that time, I was only known as a talk guy. I hadn't got to do any of the creative stuff on the channel. So I was like, here's my opportunity. So I really went in on this. I dressed up, I was in character, and I really just did my absolute best during this game. And people noticed. And as a result of that, I got invited to do three more things. Like, writing gigs have come out of it. At least two performing gigs have come out of it, and maybe more. So, to encapsulate that, exactly what happened was I just tried to help someone else succeed. I genuinely just wanted to promote her project because I like her and I wanted to see her succeed. That led to another opportunity, which was way outside of my comfort zone or things I was accustomed to, but quite frankly, I was like, hashtag YOLO. And out of that, I've been able to convert and capitalize on the other opportunities. You can work 120 hours a week in this town for free. And people will say, you're doing this for exposure and that for exposure. And there's a saying that you can die of exposure, and that is absolutely true. However, when you're just trying to get in the game, the easiest way to do it is to volunteer for stuff. To say, you know, just let me know however I can help. Because that people will tell you that all the time. The one thing you will always hear from me is, anything I can do, let me know if I can help. Anything I can do, let me know. And then I really do it. And so it may be that you have to PA on a movie or do backgrounds, and maybe you only make $50 or $20 or $0, because I've done plenty of non-paying gigs. But if you do it right and you're careful, they do lead directly to the paying gigs, because if nothing else, you're building your reel, you're building those relationships, which I said you have to have. And if you can establish yourself as a dependable person, as a go-to person, then doors open. As you were going through this process of trying to break into entertainment or do literally anything, any change you're trying to make, if you're just trying to like maintain in life, which is hard enough with the, you know, the buffets of life and the vicissitudes of fate. If you find yourself having a really hard time, if you find yourself having like a lot of problems, if you find yourself feeling like everything is going against you, well, you're not crazy. You're not crazy. So just, and it's always a tough thing to say, yes, just hang in there and put your head down and endure. And you should do that, but you always got to be looking tactically at what you're doing also. Don't just keep beating your head on the wall. If you're not booking the gigs, it doesn't mean you should give up, but maybe you need more training on how to book a gig. Maybe you need more training on auditions. Maybe you need more training on lines. Maybe you need more training on rehearsals. Maybe you just need more practice. And I would say, more than anything, it's like that Goethe quote, you know, whatever you would dare to be or begin, do it. Do it, because boldness has genius in it. Do the thing. Especially if it's something that's been in the back of your mind for years. If you've had the book you've been thinking about, the screenplay you've been thinking about, the class you've wanted to take, do it. Do it. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. I can't add anything more than that.
That was me, Dave Walters. Be sure to check out his show, Ask Your Black Geek Friend, on Geek & Sundry, and follow him on social media. We'll have those links up on our website, kjla.com/spokendreams. You can follow me on social media at the Spoken Dreams Facebook page or on Instagram and Twitter at Spoken Dreams Pod. You can find Spoken Dreams on any platform you get podcasts, and if you subscribe, you'll never miss an episode when they're released early Monday morning. Don't forget, if you've got a story to tell or you just want to say hello, you can always send me an email at spokendreams@kgla.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. Until next week, break a leg. Spoken Dreams is produced by me, Bobby Gonzalez, for the KTLA 5 News in Los Angeles. Executive producers are Olson Ebright and Jason Ball. And I'd love to hear from you. Tell me what you thought of this week's story, or even tell me your own story. You can shoot me an email at spokendreams@ktla.com.